from ABC News, World News This Week. I'm Chuck Sievertson in New York. Coming up, going back to school amid a pandemic.
Be prepared because there's a lot of work ahead.
Isa Isis hits the East Coast.
We made it in the bathtub, and I put my body over hers. That's when it hit.
A massive explosion flattens Beirut's ports.
It was almost as if there was an earthquake and a bomb explode all at once.
The clock is ticking for TikTok.
Microsoft has been in negotiations to purchase the platform.
New York's AG sues the NRA.
We are seeking an order to dissolve the NRA in its entirety.
The people and events that made headlines when World News This Week continues. The U.S. death toll from COVID-19 could reach 300,000 by December 1st. That's according to a forecast from the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. More from ABC's Matt Gutman.
Dr. Deborah Birx warning nine cities plus California's Central Valley that their increase in test positivity could be an early sign of an imminent surge in cases. California now surpassing 10,000 deaths from COVID and reporting more cases than any other state in the country. And now Ohio Governor Mike DeWine confirming he is negative for the coronavirus. The governor first tested positive as part of a routine screening just before he was set to meet with President Trump.
Everyone who sees the president is tested. So I was tested. I went from there to the airport. And when I got to the airport, found out shortly thereafter that I had tested positive. So that was a big surprise.
In a statement, DeWine says he and his family immediately went to Wexner Medical Center in Ohio to be tested again twice, adding the earlier positive test was taken with new technology called an antigen test, and that we don't have much experience with them here in Ohio, but are researching how the discrepancy between these two tests could have occurred. The apparent false positive adding to confusion about the country's testing capabilities as President Trump is now suggesting that a vaccine could be ready by Election Day.
I'm optimistic that it'll be probably around that date. I believe we'll have the vaccine before the end of the year, certainly, but around that date, yes, I think so.
But Dr. Anthony Fauci thinks likely not. He's eyeing a target date of early 2021.
You might likely get an indication that you know if it works and if it's safe by the end of this calendar year. I might add that I'm cautiously optimistic, though you can never guarantee things with a vaccine.
And the emotional toll not getting any easier, not just for older Americans. This San Antonio father is now preparing to bury his 22-year-old daughter. The aspiring nurse battled COVID-19 for over a month. Both father and daughter had contracted the virus.
That boggles my mind that why am I still here? And my daughter's not. You might think you're invincible. You might not get it. We thought the same thing. But we took care of ourselves. We took every precaution available.
The U.S. has now surpassed 160,000 coronavirus deaths. But an internal FEMA memo obtained by ABC News finds new cases and deaths have decreased week over week. As officials get a handle on the COVID surge, ABC's Steve Osunsami says schools are getting ready for classes.
Dr. Anthony Fauci is pointing to states outside the Sun Belt, warning that they could see a, quote, insidious increase in cases.
For those of the group out on the front line, thank you for what you're doing, but be prepared because there's a lot of work ahead.
One of his concerns are school systems that are welcoming back students into classrooms. In Georgia's largest school district north of Atlanta, school hasn't even started yet. And nearly 300 Gwinnett County teachers and staff members are already sick or have been exposed to the virus. And for many families across the country whose school systems have decided to go with in-person instruction, it's a tough decision to send the kids to class. On the other side of the country, New Jersey's health commissioner is blaming another crowded party for a growing outbreak that's hit the Rutgers University football team. So far, at least 28 players have tested positive for the coronavirus. And even when schools, for example, follow precautions recommended by health authorities, children who return to them are still at risk. A mother with a student at Indiana University shares this Facebook post saying that despite routine testing and social distancing at the school, her son, freshman offensive lineman Brady Feeney, tested positive last month, had trouble breathing, and is now struggling with possible heart issues, writing, bottom line, Even if your son's schools do everything right to protect them, they can't protect them.
ABC's Steve Osunsami. Some districts, like Chicago Public Schools, decided to start the year with remote learning. But New York public schools will have in-class instruction.
Each region in this state is below the COVID-19 infection limit, so Governor Andrew Cuomo delivered what he called great news.
By our infection rates, all school districts can open.
School districts must submit plans to the state health department for review and post plans for remote learning, testing, and contact tracing.
When we say if a student tests positive, this is how we do testing.
Cuomo said districts should also host discussions with parents and teachers by the end of the month. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
For the second time this summer, the Oneonta High School football team is under quarantine because players are showing symptoms of the virus. Coach Phil Phillips says now he's worried.
I looked my wife in the eyes Monday night before I went to bed, and I said, you know, I sure hope we didn't kill anybody's grandmother today by having a football practice.
The high school's band is also under quarantine. Congressional Democrats in the White House have tried for 2 weeks to reach an agreement on another COVID economic relief bill, but with very little progress.
We have been mightily trying to find common ground with our colleagues. It's hard when your values are so different in terms of bubble up from the working class families instead of trickle down from above.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Democrats offered to cut a trillion if the White House added a trillion, but were denied. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says they are eager to make a deal.
I think if we can reach an agreement on state and local and unemployment, we will reach an overall deal. And if we can't, we can't.
The unemployment rate decreased to 10.2% in July as the economy added 1.8 million jobs. States that were once dealing with COVID surges are finding new ways to combat the disease.
Virginia rolling out an app to track cases, the first in the nation. It's called COVIDWISE. Governor Ralph Northam.
This can really help us catch new cases early before they spread as far. You get that alert, you can get a test, and then you can quarantine yourself.
In New York City, once the epicenter of the nation's outbreak, the city's mayor now says there will be contact tracers posted at the city entrances to make sure travelers from states with high infection rates are following quarantine rules. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Some must-haves for waiting out the pandemic have been restocked, but not disinfecting wipes.
Clorox disinfecting wipes.
There was a time not that long ago when disinfecting wipes were just another item you'd pick up at the grocery store, but now they remain the hottest in-demand summer must-haves. And today, Clorox's CEO is telling Reuters shelves won't be fully stocked with wipes until next year. Lysol is having similar problems. Clorox says supplies of bleach will increase, but wipes have a complex supply chain. Disinfecting ingredients and plastic containers are made in China. Alex Stone, ABC News.
COVID testing was halted for a time this week in hard-hit Florida ahead of tropical storm Isaias. ABC's Tom Yama says the storm killed at least 9 people and left millions in the dark.
The winds, rain, and storm surge from Isaias taking lives, carving the East Coast, and hitting major cities in the Northeast as a powerful tropical storm. Trees down across New York City.
Strong and damaging winds from Isaias tore through parts of Brooklyn. A line of sycamore trees split in half, the massive branches crashing down and crushing cars below.
The heavy rain quickly flooding roads and trapping drivers on Interstate 76 near Philadelphia. Outside Washington, D.C., two cars with multiple people inside swept off the road, some clinging to trees, one on the roof. Teams rescuing them with rafts and an airboat. No one seriously hurt. And across the Northeast, multiple tornado warnings.
Hurry up, it's right here.
Powerful winds from a likely tornado in Birdie County, North Carolina, flipping cars and splintering multiple homes. Two were killed, 20 hurt. Tanisha Thomas was home with her daughter.
We made it in the bathtub, and I put my body over hers. That's when it hit. One day at a time.
Did you lose everything?
Everything.
East of Richmond, Virginia, homes knocked from their foundations. Isaias making a dangerous late-night landfall just north of Myrtle Beach as a Category 1 hurricane with sustained winds of 85 miles an hour. Those powerful winds drowning out our Rob Marciano on Carolina Beach. Plus, life-threatening storm surge flooding homes, burying cars in sand, and filling homes with debris. In Oak Island, North Carolina, residents riding out the ferocious winds and surging water in the dark. power lines, sparking fires on Ocean Isle Beach. Multiple homes engulfed, thankfully empty, as most had evacuated.
ABC's Tom Yamas. Residents in Beirut are demanding answers after a powerful and deadly explosion killed at least 135 people and injured another 5,000. ABC News senior foreign correspondent Ian Pennell has more on the aftermath.
Were warnings ignored that could have prevented the Beirut blast? The remains of the port amid growing questions about what happened. The city in a state of emergency, counting the dead and searching for the missing. The destruction's immense. Massive piles of metal beams where buildings once stood and hundreds of windows blown out in those still standing. Broken glass everywhere. People now returning to their homes and finding them torn apart. Grain silo, a main food source for the country, completely destroyed by the explosion. We're now learning there were more than 2,500 tons of ammonium nitrate stored here, a highly explosive chemical. Confiscated from a freighter, it was stored here for years. But now the head of the customs department, speaking on Lebanese TV, claiming there were at least five letters warning the huge stockpile was a danger and asking for a way to remove it. Officials are pointing to gross negligence. The blast changed tens of thousands of lives in a matter of moments. In what should have been the best day of her life, Dr. Isra Sablani poses for her wedding photos as the blast rips through, running for her life.
One thing came into my mind, that now my life has changed from wedding happiness into a sad moment. Now I'm going to die.
Sama Hadid's apartment, a mile from the port, completely destroyed.
It was absolutely terrifying. The whole place felt like it was going to collapse. It was almost as if there was an earthquake and a bomb explode all at once.
At least one American's known to be among the more than 130 dead. Many more people are missing and over 5,000 injured. And the timing couldn't have been worse for a country already on its knees.
Tensions with China are rising once again as President Trump puts a clock on TikTok. First, the president said the popular social media app would cease operating in the U.S. September 15th unless an American company acquired TikTok, with the Treasury getting a cut of the deal.
The United States should get a very large percentage of that price because we're making it possible. Without us, you know, I use the expression, it's like the landlord and the tenant. And without the lease, the tenant doesn't have the value. Well, we're sort of, in a certain way, the lease.
It's unclear exactly how that would work. By Friday, President Trump signed an executive order giving the Chinese companies that own TikTok and WeChat 45 days to sell to an American company, citing privacy concerns. Details from ABC's Rachel Scott.
The president says that when Americans download these apps, they're putting their privacy at risk. So now he is putting TikTok and WeChat on notice, ramping up the pressure for these Chinese-owned companies to sell these apps. Now, TikTok is responding, saying they are shocked by this executive order. The president giving American companies just 45 days to stop doing business with the app. We know that Microsoft has been in negotiations to purchase the platform. Those negotiations now on a firm deadline. And the Trump administration says that these Chinese-owned platforms are a national security threat, and that when millions of Americans download them, they're putting their privacy and their data directly in the hands of the Chinese government. Now, of course, TikTok has pushed back against those claims. They are saying this sets a dangerous precedent, that it undermines the rule of law, and of course, this escalates the tensions between the U.S. and China.
ABC's Rachel Scott. A U.S. intelligence agency is warning that China, Russia, and Iran are trying to influence this year's presidential election.
The National Counterintelligence and Security Center saying China would prefer President Trump lose the election because that country thinks he's unpredictable and hurts China's interests. Analysts saying that Iran would also prefer Joe Biden, and the agency saying Russia's trying to do what it did in 2016, help President Trump win by hurting the Democratic candidate, this time Joe Biden. U.S. intelligence saying it's doing all it can to protect voting integrity.
ABC's Andy Field in Washington. A former acting attorney general appeared before Congress this week with a similar warning.
Testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee about the Russia investigation, former acting attorney general Sally Yates had this to say about the upcoming election.
In this election year, I hope that we won't lose sight of the very real threat posed by the ongoing efforts of a foreign adversary to undermine our democratic processes.
As the hearing started, President Trump tweeted that Yates has, quote, zero credibility. Trump fired Yates in 2017. She filled the top position at the Justice Department for less than 2 weeks in January before Trump's first AG pick, Jeff Sessions, became Attorney General. Catherine Falders, ABC News, Washington.
The Trump campaign has filed suit against the state of Nevada over a new law to mail November ballots to active voters.
The president again insisting Nevada's vote-by-mail rules will let anyone send ballots that aren't verified.
They have a provision where they don't have to check signatures.
But Nevada's election division tells ABC News that is not true, that they check signatures against registration during the primary and will do it again this fall. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Race in America has become a leading issue this presidential election, and it's one that both candidates have struggled with. More from ABC's Mary Bruce.
Joe Biden doing damage control after he seemed to suggest that most African Americans are uniform in their views.
What you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
Seeing an opening, Trump pounced.
Joe Biden totally disparaged and insulted the black community. What he said is incredible, and I don't know what's going on with him.
Biden then tweeting, "In no way did I mean to suggest the African American community is a monolith, not by identity, not on issues, not at all." Adding, "Throughout my career, I've witnessed the diversity of thought, background, and sentiment within the African American community." Black voters back Biden over Trump by a staggering margin. Among black Americans, a Washington Post Ipsos poll put Biden 87 points ahead of Trump. The president is eager to chip away at that lead, but Trump has a long history of divisive actions and racially charged remarks. He recently labeled Black Lives Matter a hate group and retweeted a supporter shouting the racist phrase, white power. As he ramps up his attacks, the president is also taking on Biden's faith.
No religion, no anything. Hurt the Bible, hurt God. He's against God.
Biden, a devout Catholic, fired back, calling Trump's attack shameful, saying his comments show us a man willing to stoop to any low for political gain.
ABC's Mary Bruce. The political conventions are now just days away, but both candidates are making major last-minute changes.
Presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden will be giving his remote convention speech from his home state of Delaware. As for President Trump,
I have three or four choices. One is the White House. But we have three or four choices. We'll be announcing it over the next week or so.
Members of the president's own party are concerned delivering his speech from the White House could be a violation of the Hatch Act, which bars government employees from using official authority to interfere with the outcome of an election. Inez de la Guterra, ABC News, Washington.
Alleging years of corruption, the New York Attorney General files suit to dissolve the National Rifle Association. Details from ABC News senior national correspondent Terry Moran.
A stunning announcement. New York State Attorney General Letitia James declaring that the evidence of alleged wrongdoing at the NRA that her office has uncovered shows that the powerhouse gun rights group must be put out of business for good.
The NRA diverted millions and millions of dollars away from its charitable mission for personal use by senior leadership. We are seeking an order to dissolve the NRA in its entirety.
NRA CEO Wayne LaPierre stands accused of misusing NRA charitable donations to support a lavish lifestyle, including numerous private jet flights for himself and his family, membership fees at golf clubs, and $500,000 worth of vacations in the Bahamas.
ABC's Terry Moran. The NRA calls the suit a premeditated attack on the organization and the Second Amendment. Securities regulators are investigating Kodak's recent announcement of a sizable government loan.
My administration has reached a historic agreement.
President Trump announced last month a $765 million loan to Kodak to make drugs.
From the good old camera age.
The president now confirms the Securities and Exchange Commission is investigating how Kodak handled the announcement, and he distanced himself.
I wasn't involved in the deal. The concept of the deal is good, but I'll let you know. We'll do a little study on that.
Word of the loan caused Kodak stock to rise. Senator Elizabeth Warren requested the SEC investigate after she said there were several instances of unusual trading activity prior to the announcement. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
History was made this week when, for the first time, two astronauts returned from the International Space Station on a commercial vehicle and splashed down into the Gulf of Mexico.
Astronaut Bob Behnken on planet Earth for the first time in 2 months.
We're both super, super proud to have been just a small part of the team that accomplished bringing those space flights back to the Florida coast and bringing that capability back to America.
The mission from the International Space Station made history, but what do you do on a 19-hour journey home? His partner, astronaut Doug Hurley.
Making prank satellite phone calls to whoever we could get a hold of, which was kind of fun, by the way. You can send him the bill for the sat phone.
Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
Coming up.
Some people just simply can't afford it.
Coronavirus testing obstacles when world news this week continues.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Medical experts say testing is a key to stopping COVID-19 from spreading throughout the country, but ABC's Juju Chang finds there are inequalities in accessing those test sites.
ABC News and 538 analyzed test sites in all 50 states and D.C. using census data and test site info from healthcare company Castlight, and found that in and around many cities, so-called urbanized areas, testing locations were more scarce in predominantly Black and Latino neighborhoods than in their white, wealthier counterparts. 16-year-old Natalie Choi's family also has limited resources. Her whole family has been sick for almost 3 weeks.
You live in what's called a multi-generational family. How realistic is it for you guys to have tried to social distance within the house?
Since my dad was the first one to test positive, it was realistic for him with his bathroom and his bedroom, and my mom just slept with the babies in the living room. But for I share a room with my brother, so it wasn't realistic at all. We really couldn't do anything at all except wear a mask.
Plus, with Natalie's large extended family, testing wasn't just tough to find, it's tough to afford.
People who can have the money and the things just to be able to pay for every single test, they have much easier access. Like paying for $100 or $150, that's fine. But when it's five, six, or seven people, some people just simply can't afford it.
And those are the people and events that made World News This Week. World News This Week was written and produced by Stephanie Pawlowski. I'm Chuck Sievertson, ABC News, New York.